You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Some people do say that I have a touch too much, maybe come on a little bit too strong. But anyhow, you are tuned in to the Second Amendment Radio Show. We like to shorten that down to 2A Radio. As far as I can tell, it is the only Monday through Friday daily nationally syndicated radio show dedicated to the Second Amendment. Now, of course, we talk about all kinds of stuff, be it Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, Fifth Amendment rights, states' Tenth Amendment rights, and how the government is getting bigger, badder, bolder, and just trying to hose us out of everything. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org is the website. All kinds of great stuff there. Archives are available on the RBN site. It's $1.33 a month. However, RBN is also standing up a second network, the Elected Radio Network, Elected Representatives Network, ERN. If anybody is interested in helping to get that off, that's all self-funded. You can donate a little bit more than the $1.33 a month, $5, $10, $20, whatever it may be. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and check that out. We also, if you'd like to spread the message, we have generic business cards for RBN. For 100 cards, they're $10. They're full color. They're on a nice glossy finish. They're very nice. I come from a printing background, and I can tell you these are nice cards. They're not junk. They're not some laser printer card that comes off. They're very nice things. If you order those, you can also get an RBN bumper sticker and a free copy of Aaron Russo's America from Freedom to Fascism, which, if you have not seen, is an eye-opener. It is fantastic. So, to order all those things, you can call the regular business office, which is 800-724-2719, or you can mail in to Republic Broadcasting at 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302. That's Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if at any time you'd like to call into the show, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. That's how to get a hold of me right here live. So, with all of that being said, we do have a couple of show sponsors I would like to get to. First of all, you can go to BillCarnes.com. That is all about me. I am the host of the show. I was on the first series of History Channel's Top Shot, which is a shooting-based reality competition show of sorts. I was on season one with 15 other fantastic people. You can, also on there, I have my NFA tab. It says NFA Guns with a question mark. You can click on that. I put together Class 3 NFA Trusts. And that is if you'd like to own any sort of NFA items, the National Firearms Act, be it machine guns, submachine guns, suppressors, explosive devices, destructive devices, I think they're called, and then the AOW, any other weapons. You can own those personally, or you can form a corporation, or the most leeway and the quickest way of getting about it, and the least expensive, is by far, by going through with the NFA Trust. I set those up individually for everybody. Additionally, one of our sponsors is RoninTactical.com. Now, Ronin Tactical features high-end defensive tactics types firearms instructors. And what they do is they're also certified in many of the states to teach concealed weapons permits. So what happens is you get together a group, you get a hold of RoninTactical.com, R-O-N-I-N, they send out one of their certified instructors, and you sit down and you go through the concealed weapons permits, which will get you about 30-plus states between the concealed weapons permits that you'll get wherever you live. It doesn't matter. So they will send folks out to get you set up with that. So go to RoninTactical.com. You can also go to my website, BillCarnes.com, and the show website, 2aradio.com. I have all of my archives there and information about me on both sites. So there you go. Stay tuned, folks. You're tuned in live right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
A touch too much.
I want to talk about what's happening between North and South Korea right now. As it turns out, South Korea's holding some war games, and they're holding them on an island that the North disputes, which is near their western border. So what does North Korea do? North Korea says, don't hold war games there, or we're going to retaliate, and they did. They shelled the island, killing two Marines, two South Korean Marines, injuring another 16, and South Korea responded by scrambling fighter jets in response and returned some fire as it could. Of course, now the South Korean president is saying that the South will unleash enormous retaliation should North Korea strike again. Now, North Korea already did strike. They sunk one of your ships last year in 2009. You did nothing about it. Now they shell an island and kill some of your warriors. And now you're saying, do it again. What, are you looking for three strikes, you're out? Well, the United Nations Security Council could potentially hold an emergency meeting in the next couple of days over the attack, saying, it's in the works for either today or tomorrow. We are for it and planning it's ongoing, according to some UN Security Council something that gave this information to Reuters, whoever this person is. Here's the deal. If this goes down, this is bad news for us because we already have troops in South Korea. Now, keep in mind, the Korean conflict, as it was called, the Korean Wars, we know it, especially for those proud Americans who served in it. That was the first UN-backed military operation. That's the first time the United Nations went in with their war machine. And of course, the United States was the biggest player in this. Of course, we financially support the UN to the nth degree. Why? I have no idea. How ridiculous. Anyhow, I digress. As it turns out, there really was no peace deal. There was no peace treaty. They are still technically at war. There's an armistice that was put in 1953. So we've got 57 years worth of an armistice. But there really was no peace treaty ever negotiated. And of course, Kim Jong-il is like a child that just wants to wave his hands and arms and want to be noticed because in North Korea, it's a throwback in time. There's really no industry. There's nothing going on. They deal with this entire nuclear reactor thing to get what they want. Not if they created a nuclear weapon that they would be able to do anything with it. When I was with Department of Defense, we got a rundown of the different offensive weapons that North Korea possessed. And everybody in there, these different scientists and things were like, that can be scary. My response was, if somebody has a gun but no bullets, I'm not really afraid. And if they have bullets and no gun, I'm not afraid either. It's when they have the two. So my question is here, you're telling us about the different bullets that North Korea has. Do they have any guns to fire these things out of? Of course, I'm using colloquialisms and inferences here for what the actual part of this briefing was. I'm not really able to sit here and talk about it. But the answer was no, they don't have a gun. They might have these things, but they have no way to use them. Okay, well, now I'm not too worried about it. What I'm worried about is whether or not they develop the ability to deliver these things you say they have. That's when I start to get worried. Until that, I don't really care. Somebody can have a garage full of 300,000 rounds of ammo. If they don't have a gun to shoot them out of, they're just prey for somebody else to go in there and get the ammo. Again, I digress. Going to take the opportunity now to go into the pro-gun organizations around the country, two or three of them, and see what they're doing. Incidentally, one of the ones I'm not going to be getting to is the NRA because I couldn't find anything about what the NRA is doing recently. This is the Second Amendment Foundation out of Bellevue, Washington. Yesterday, they filed suit in U.S. District Court for the District of New Jersey against several New Jersey officials for deprivation of civil rights under the color of law. Again, it's a 14th Amendment case. Come on, guys. Second Amendment Foundation is joined in the lawsuit by Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, Incorporated. Now, that's cool. There's a lot of different gun clubs in New Jersey, and they all got together and they incorporated into one larger association. Therefore, they don't all have to individually scramble to get things done around the state. They have the larger association, so that's a good deal. Let's see. So they joined in with those folks and six private citizens whose applications for permits to carry have been denied, generally on the grounds that they have not shown a justifiable need. It's a mother may I system there in New Jersey. One of the plaintiffs is a kidnap victim. Another is a part-time sheriff's deputy. A third carries large amounts of cash in his private business. And another is a civilian employee of the FBI in New Jersey who was fearful of attack from a radical Islamic fundamentalist group. Plaintiffs are represented by attorneys David D. Jensen and Robert P. Ferrilio with the law firm Duane Morris, LLP, out of Newark, New Jersey. Named as defendants in the case are three Superior Court judges, Philip J. Mainza out of Morris County, Rudolph A. Thilko, the Passaic County judge, and Edward A. Jurgian, I guess, of Bergen County, plus Colonel Rick Fuentes, superintendent of the state police, Hamilton Police Chief Frank Ingemey, and New Jersey Attorney General Paul T. Dow. Here's a quote. Law-abiding New Jersey citizens have been arbitrarily deprived of their ability to defend themselves and their families for years under the state's horribly crafted laws, says Second Amendment Foundation Executive Vice President Alan Gottlieb. He says the laws grant uncontrolled discretion to police chiefs and other public officials to deny license applications, even in cases where the applicant has shown a clear and present danger exists. If being a kidnapped victim or a part-time law enforcement officer or the potential target of a known radical group does not clearly demonstrate a justifiable need, the defendants need to explain what would. Do citizens need guns in their heads, to their heads, or knives to their throats before the state considers their need to be justified? Supreme Court rulings have made it clear that the Second Amendment prohibits states from completely banning the carry of handguns for self-defense. Nor may states deny citizens the right to carry handguns in non-sensitive places or depriving them of the right to carry in an arbitrary and conspicuous manner. That's what's happening today in New Jersey, and we intend to stop it. Again, all by Alan Gottlieb of the Second Amendment Foundation. Fantastic. I love it. So that's what Second Amendment Foundation is doing. You can always go to secondamendmentfoundation.org or saf.org, I think it is. Check them out. Wonderful group. As a matter of fact, it's SAF who's really leading the charge in the courts. It's not the NRA, guys. It's not. The only thing that the NRA has going for it in my account, being as how they've really turned into no longer a fighting group, but a compromising organization with a powerful lobby, is if you're a member of the NRA for what it is, I think it's $35 a year, you get insurance on your guns. So knowing that, a number of the other pro-gun groups who are actually active are trying to get together a program along the same lines. How about Gun Owners of America? Well, Larry Pratt, president of Gun Owners of America, he writes the following piece called Rights Wrongs, Writing Wrongs Based on Wrong Interpretation of Rights. Something I speak about fairly regularly. Let's get into this. Socialists from President Obama on down look at the government as the creator and administrator of rights. That is why even some of the left likened the Heller and McDonald decisions, which overturned gun bans in Washington, D.C. and Chicago. Don't get me wrong. I'm ecstatic that the Supreme Court ruled against these gun bans in these two cities. And I'd rather be in our shoes today than in the Brady campaigns, as they saw their argument slapped down harshly by the court. So why then would some big government types like these two decisions, especially the McDonald case out of Chicago? Because it's basing their decision upon the due process clause of the 14th Amendment. The justice perpetrated a false doctrine which has allowed the Constitution to continue evolving. Now, I've been crowing about this for a long time. You've heard it if you've been listening to this show for any time at all. And I know there's a lot of new listeners out there. We've got new networks going on. We got everything. We're growing all over the place. The 14th Amendment is a piece of garbage, and that is where we ended up having trouble with these gun cases. Now, we're going to continue this after the break. So stay tuned. You're tuned in live right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back from the break. We're going to continue on with this piece by Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. We're going to back up just a little bit. He says, So why then would some big government types like these two decisions, especially the McDonald case out of Chicago? Because in basing their decision upon the due process clause of the 14th Amendment, the justices perpetrated a false doctrine which has allowed the Constitution to continue evolving. The due process clause is a place where judges invent rights and then decide how much the government can control them. Gun Owners of America argued that the court should have based its decision on the Privileges or Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment. The court would then have been using a definitive clause dealing with the rights of citizenship rather than the amorphous substantive due process clause, where the courts have run wild and seldom come to constitutionally based conclusions. Now, we're going to pause here and give you Bill Carnes' matter in this. The city of Chicago argued that the Second Amendment didn't apply to the states because the Supreme Court had not incorporated it through the 14th Amendment. What they're saying is every single citizen in Illinois is not a citizen of Illinois. They are a federal citizen and they are a 14th Amendment citizen. Therefore, we don't have to offer the Second Amendment up here in our state. That's what the city of Chicago argued. Now, the response to that was, oh, yes, you do, and we'll get it incorporated. So many people are completely negating the fact that the 14th Amendment has been a broad stroke across everyone in America, which is not its intention. And it is also illicit to do such a thing. The original class of citizenry, we enjoy all of the protections, all of the enumerated rights, and all of the unenumerated rights, of which there are thousands, which are not spelled out in the Constitution. Remember, the Constitution doesn't grant us any rights. They, identify and protect merely a top 10 in the Bill of Rights. Now, if you went through, I actually read the McDonald decision live on the air just as it hit. Just as it hit the Supreme Court docket. The Supreme Court site post-docket. As soon as it was released, I was on here within about 60 seconds live reading the decision. Now, Judge Clarence Thomas, one of the brightest guys who's been on the Supreme Court in many decades, actually was voted for the plaintiff and Otis McDonald against the city of Chicago, against their gun rights. I'm sorry, their anti-gun policies and laws in the city. And Clarence Thomas got it right. His decision was slamming the privileges and immunities. Pardon me. He was slamming the due process clause that the other four justices cited and said this should be under privileges or immunities. Now, continuing with Larry Pratt's letter, he says, justices love the due process clause because it has been interpreted in such a way to allow judges to twist the Constitution to fit their big government worldview. They love this approach because they love righting wrongs based on what they think are actual rights of the people. Of course, Obama complained on the public broadcasting radio interview when he was a state senator that the Constitution only protects negative rights and that such limitations, in his view, must be overcome. Obama made it quite clear that a constitutional republic that is governed by our Constitution is antithetical to his socialism. Well, of course it is. He talks of a right to health care and a right to a comfortable living and, well, a right to anything the left thinks will help buy more votes. Well said, Larry. He continues by writing, indeed, the role of government in the Founders' Constitution is to protect liberty and no more. Socialists want government to provide for everything, making the people dependent, even at the expense of liberty. The left is hoping to pit their understanding of the 14th Amendment, where courts create rights, against the 10th Amendment. They argue that the 14th Amendment, being enacted after the 10th, trumps the earlier amendment. That is why they're so eager to inject their view of government-created rights into the 14th Amendment. If the government is the creator of rights, then the government must be protected from the people. That means they cannot allow us any notion that the Second Amendment is intended to be a check on the unconstitutional exercise of federal power. The constitutional militia was intended to be an instrument of the states to protect their citizens from the federal government, by legal definition throughout the colonies, and all free men were required to own military long arms. Wyoming is on the right path. Wyoming has a Firearms Freedom Act. You know what? We'll get to this when we come back. So stay tuned. We will finish up Larry Pratt's letter, and then we'll get on to what's going on with the National Association of Gun Rights after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carr, and stay tuned right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Hey guys, welcome back. We're going to finish up this letter written by Gun Owners of America President Larry Pratt. He continues by saying, Wyoming is on the right path. Wyoming has a Firearms Freedom Act, which interposes Wyoming against all federal laws involving a firearm made in the state and which remains in the state. Unlike the other seven states with identical laws, Wyoming makes violation of the act by a federal official a state offense punishable by up to 365 days in jail. Had they added one more day to the potential penalty, any conviction would result in the loss of gun rights under 18 U.S.C. 922G for any federal official who violates their law. Now, as a little side note, New Hampshire has been entertaining the idea of a Firearms Freedom Act. In New Hampshire's proposed law, last I read it, and I read it here on the air several months ago, anybody who violates the New Hampshire Firearms Freedom Act law, who is from within the state, be it a local, county, or state official, would be guilty of a misdemeanor. Any federal agent who violated the state's Firearms Freedom Act would be guilty of a felony. So they would lose their ability to own a gun and possess a gun under 18 U.S.C. 922G. Continue with Larry's letter. He said, states and county sheriffs are going to need to take a militia clause of the Constitution seriously. Sheriff Joe Arpaio of Maricopa County, Arizona, outside of Phoenix, or I'm sorry, which encompasses Phoenix, has a posse of 3,000. If Arizona were to create a state guard and encourage sheriffs to beef up their posse strengths to level analogs to Maricopa County, and if other states were to follow suit, the federal government would be less inclined to assume that there are no limits to their powers. Such an outcome would not come about until we understand that there is no conflict between the 10th and 14th Amendments, and that rights come from God, not from government. Government-made rights are the wrong rights. Again, this is from Larry Pratt. He is the executive director of Gun Owners of America. Now, let's switch gears here and talk about a lawsuit filed by the National Association for Gun Rights against the post office gun ban. Okay, listen to this. If there's anything that makes a concealed carry permit holder upset, it's criminal safe zones. A criminal safe zone is where only criminals are safe because armed self-defense is banned. And that's why the National Association for Gun Rights has filed a lawsuit against the United States Postal Service. The U.S. Postal Service uses bureaucratic rules to ban your right to carry in a post office, and that's important even if you don't carry concealed. It's the camel's nose under the tent. You see, the U.S. Postal Service claims citizens don't have the right to self-defense in post offices. There's one problem with that claim. It isn't true. The law cited by the post office creates an exemption for, quote, lawful carrying of firearms, unquote. Also for, quote, other lawful purposes, unquote. On top of that, both the Heller and McDonald Supreme Court decisions guarantee, quote, the individual right to possess and carry weapons in the case of confrontation, end quote. Sounds like that should be pretty simple, doesn't it? Well, the lawsuit filed against the post office gun ban says, well, no government bureaucracy ever gave up power without a fight. And given the anti-gun nature of the Obama regime, we know they aren't going to instruct the Postal Service properly. So, I assume that you'd want your organization, the NAGR, to act and quickly. So, do you support this lawsuit on behalf of law-abiding citizens for their self-defense? I sincerely hope so. I know personally it infuriates me to be disarmed just because I'm picking up my mail. But imagine how Debbie Boynted feels. Debbie and Tab Boynted live in the mountains of Colorado and are the plaintiffs, along with the National Association for Gun Rights, against the Postal Service. Debbie doesn't like going anywhere without her personal handgun, which is why she went through the trouble of being trained, she's law-abiding and getting her concealed carry permit. Not only does the U.S. Postal Service say she can't carry that handgun for self-protection in a post office, but they arrogantly claim she can't even leave it in her car when in their lot. We win this lawsuit, that's outrageous policy will change in every post office in America. So, I will give you a little bit of info for me. I live in the small town of Pahrump, Nevada. A lot of people carry here. A lot. Now, they have the same rules as anywhere else. Now, there's a lot of post office boxes at our post offices. There's actually three post offices, one main one and two smaller satellite ones. To the best of my knowledge, those are the only three around. And a lot of people carry in the post offices, but they don't go into the room where the post employees deal with people one-on-one. Like if you need to send something out, you need to deal with a postal employee. If you're just in the P.O. box area right there, a lot of people still pack. And from what I understand, the people in the post office have told others when they've asked, yet you're just not allowed to bring it in where we work. So otherwise what they're telling you, according to this, and keep in mind there is a federal judge in Oregon who ruled this way just earlier this year. I'm sorry, it wasn't earlier this year. It was a little over a year ago. It was in September of 2009. And he ruled you can't have a gun anywhere on the property. You can't even leave it in your car if your car's on the parking lot. Otherwise, you got to leave your car off of post office grounds. Okay, now let's say that you are handicapped and you don't have the physical ability to be able to park elsewhere and then walk onto the grounds without a gun, but you keep a gun with you. So what you do is you have your gun in your vehicle and you park it in the handicap zone right up front at the post office. They're essentially saying, not essentially, they're blatantly saying, you can't do that. So you'd have to go unarmed to the post office, say if you're handicapped. You can't do that. That is violating the Heller decision. It's violating the McDonald decision. It's violating your rights before either of those decisions. The post office is not a sensitive governmental area. And there is no way that the U.S. Postal Service could possibly claim that under that clause within the federal system and within the decisions of those two cases. They can't do that. We're going to move on to the state of Wisconsin, where the gun owners there are fighting for constitutional carry. Now, keep in mind, constitutional carry is the method of carry without having to go get some sort of fancy permit. You just carry. Constitutional carry is already the way things are in Vermont, Alaska, and Arizona. So, let me read this to you. With a new Republican majority in the Wisconsin legislature, will a new Republican majority in the Wisconsin legislature restore your right to bear arms? Not without your pressure, they won't. So this is going out to a lot of the listeners there in Wisconsin. With sweeping Republican victories all across Wisconsin, the chance to seize the moment for concealed carry is now. On November 2nd, state Republicans clinched the super trifecta by winning majorities in the Wisconsin House, Senate, and governor's seat. Now, everyone in Wisconsin has every opportunity in the world to restore your right to carry. But there's one problem. Without intense grassroots pressure, these politicians will sell you out and won't lift a finger to fight on your behalf. If you don't believe them, just look at history. You can also look at the long list of those still in the Wisconsin state legislature who oppose your right to carry. That's right. Think they can throw a few crumbs and then turn a blind eye? That's only mistreatment. That's not going to fly. Here we go. Constitutional carry treats your right to bear arms as the Constitution expressly said it should, as an unalienable right. Shall issue concealed carry, on the other hand, requires a permit, a fee, a background check, and usually law enforcement agency to issue your permit, as well as an expiration date. There's no reason why Wisconsin gun owners shouldn't demand a complete and total repeal of the ban on carrying concealed handguns now that the Republicans, who claim to be pro-gun, control the state. Even so, there's little doubt in most people's minds that Republicans will do as they've always done, grovel at the feet of anti-gun groups, snatching victories from the jaws of defeat. Unless everyone in Wisconsin and thousands of others from around the country demand Republicans support a clean bill. And that's a way that it happens if you take action. Now, we believe we need in Wisconsin two forms of concealed carry. Why not offer permits as an option for those who want one so they can travel armed to other states? It's the way most states do it. You can still get a concealed weapons permit in Alaska. You can still get one in Arizona. You just don't need them. I don't know about Vermont. I don't know if they offer a concealed permit or not. But for those who don't believe the right to bear arms should be licensed, constitutional carry would mean that folks simply carry and walk in Wisconsin without a permit. And the question goes to you out there in Wisconsin. Will you work with everyone else who's pro-gun and with key legislators to ensure concealed carry legislation gets passed when the new legislative session begins? Now, Wisconsin and Illinois are the only two states in the entire union that don't have any provision whatsoever for carrying concealed. Now, in Illinois, you're going to keep having to fight the good fight. In Wisconsin, you have the chance. Now, Wisconsin is an open carry state. The Attorney General of the state has even said if people are open carrying, police cannot arrest them for things such as disturbing the peace or causing some sort of a disturbance because they have their gun. You can't do that. But the cops are still arresting people for it because their police chiefs and sheriffs in certain areas are doing it. And a lot of Wisconsin open carry advocates are goading the police into making those illegal arrests so that they can sue and really take this through to the courts. Best thing to do in any state, if you want to go to constitutional carry, permit-free concealment, is to have a law drafted which repeals all of the other laws which otherwise make it illegal to carry concealed without a permit. You don't pass a new law that says, okay, now you can do this, because you have conflicting laws on the books. You have to pass a law that repeals all of the garbage that subverted your rights. And there's probably going to be many laws and many provisions and subsections of other laws. It takes a lot of research. Now, we're going to move on to something completely different here. And this has to do with a very political nature in my mind. And that is that the king of Saudi Arabia has come to the United States for medical tests. Evidently, the medical systems in Saudi Arabia aren't good enough for him, so he comes to the U.S. Saudi King Abdullah arrived Tuesday in New York for medical treatment, the country's official news agency reported, after he temporarily handed control of the world's top oil producer and key American allies, it says, to his half-brother and heir to the throne the day before. The 86-year-old monarch was greeted by Saudi Foreign Minister Saud al-Fiscal and a number of top Saudi officials after landing at New York's JFK, according to the Saudi press agency. It published photographs showing Abdullah in a wheelchair at JFK, shaking hands with al-Fiscal. It was not immediately known whether Abdullah would be receiving treatment in the U.S. A statement from the palace said only he would be undergoing medical tests. In Washington, the State Department said Monday that it helped facilitate clearances for the king to come to the U.S. for treatment. The king is a valued partner, Department spokeswoman P.J. Crowley said. We wish him a speedy recovery, and we don't know that we have any particular concerns about his health. We want to see him up and about as quickly as possible. But before he left, Abdullah issued a royal decree mandating Crown Prince Sultan and his half-brother and heir to the throne to administer the nation's affairs in his absence. Abdullah has temporarily handed over authorities in the past when he has traveled abroad for conferences or personal trips, though this was the first time for health reasons. Now, here's the issue that I've got. This Abdullah guy, he comes over here to the U.S. for medical tests. Let's say things don't go so well. Let's say he heads home in a bag. What happens then across the entire Muslim world? Oh, we must have had it out for the guy. He's 85 years old. He's well into the twilight of his life. He's not going to live into his 120s. He doesn't have another 40 years to go. and we have this guy in our country, a guy that's shown us no necessarily good sense of friendship, thanks to all of the garbage that happens in the Middle East that, you know, he turns a blind eye to. Yet we save his ass from the Iraqis when they want to go into Saudi after they invade Kuwait back in 91. So if this guy kicks the bucket here in the States, what kind of problems we have? My opinion, we shouldn't have let him in. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. We'll be right back. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
Hey guys, welcome back. Well, we're headed into the holidays. Starting today is generally when the travel for the next week really increases. People are starting to get up, get out, get packed, go to the airports, and do all kinds of flying, drive around the country. Remember this. Travel safely. If you're going to fly, you're going to be dealing with these new TSA rules, the ones that the entire American public are up in arms over and screaming about, but yet are still in effect. And I think this was actually the entire idea, was to go overboard with the groping pat-downs and these nudity scanners, get the bugs worked out for about 3 weeks, then really push it through the busiest travel season and see if TSA could actually keep up, and also what the reactions were. Then decide whether or not that they should make any changes before the first of the year, before the Christmas travel season, before all those holidays come up. So be careful with all of that. Again, I'd like to encourage everyone, go to 2aradio.com, click on the link for all of the holiday recipes, and check that stuff out. That is my gift to you. Once a year, I put up these incredible recipes, and I'll even put up different ones each year. The turkey and the stuffing are probably not going to change, unless I find something amazing to change them to. But those are pretty much there. Some of the desserts, some of the other side dishes that are up there, amazing. So, even if you're not the one who's cooking, suggest to the one who is. Say, hey, check this out. Or, my gift to you, here's this brand new thing. Or, let me help you out in the kitchen. So, anyhow, that's, again, my gift to you. Check those things out. You can go online, click on them, read them. You can go off your laptop there in the computer, take the laptop computer in the kitchen and cook off of them. Otherwise, they're set up in a format to where you can print them out on a regular 8.5x11 sheet of paper. So, you don't have to worry about taking the computer in and getting it based in some sort of turkey gook. You can just print it out, take it in there, and reprint it out if you get the turkey cook on that recipe sheet, which is already printed out. So there you go. So again, travel safely. I will be on the air for the rest of the week. You can come back and listen if you have the opportunity. Otherwise, you can go to the archives page of the network, or you could go to 2aradio.com, get the archives there. So I hope everyone has a safe and wonderful Thanksgiving. I know oftentimes it can be a trying time for anyone to go into the Thanksgiving arena of, say, in-laws or something, but still, I wish everyone the best. Travel safely. Have a good time. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com. I will not.